know about you guys, but I'm feeling extra dumb this week. Anybody else who knows anybody who went to the U of O or like graduated from the U of O feeling extra stupid this week, right? Because apparently people who go to the U of O are not smart individuals, or not as smart as Washington, I should say.
Yeah, big difference there.
That's one of the funniest quotes I've ever seen in my life. Like, Jimmy Lake saying, so first of all, the way he worded it too was hilarious. And then the fact that he says he's recruiting against more academic schools, like, he's eighth in the Pac-12 in recruiting. Like, who's he recruiting? Okay, so he's recruiting against like Berkeley and Stanford, right? Stanford's second in the conference in recruiting this year. He's not recruiting against Notre Dame. Is he recruiting against like Duke or something? Like, what is he even talking about?
I assume he's talking about recruiting against all the Ivy League schools. That's the kind of player pool he's going after.
Brown and Columbia. That's it, right?
Yep.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
I mean, if this was Shaw saying this, it might have a little weight behind it, because it's like, Stanford, you know, they don't get the best athletes out there. And I assume that their qualifications to get into Stanford a little bit more you need than going into Washington.
Stanford's a trip. Stanford's a trip with recruiting, because they get a bunch of 4-stars. Like, they really do pretty consistently. They don't get 5-stars. Like, that rarely ever happens. Like, Andrew Luck, I don't even think McCaffrey was a 5-star. I could be wrong there, but it's very rare. And when they do, they're pretty elite, generally. But lots of 4-stars. Like, people want to go play for David Shaw. And if they're smart and they're good football players, they want to go to Stanford or Notre Dame. Or, you know where they don't want to go? Fucking Washington. They don't want to go there.
Have you heard any recruit ever say that what tipped the scale was the education at UW?
Well, yes, because they all say that.
Well, yeah, I think like, every school says
listen,
that.
Listen, a guy commits to Tulsa, and he's like, it's a great school, the faculty. Yeah, I mean.
I really got excited about their academics. Science program? Yeah.
Though the thing with Stanford is you could probably draw a straight line now that we're like 3+ years into them changing their graduate requirements to where, because Stanford does the thing where your eligibility clock is your academic clock. So you could be a sophomore because you redshirted, then you got injured. But if you've been there for 4 years, you're a senior. So then you have to apply for grad school, and they change their policy. So I think that's kind of why Stanford sucks in a way.
But harder to get into the grad program?
Because you're really only there for 4 years. There's really no 5-6 year guys there anymore. Which, right. You know, if you're a running back or quarterback, you're not staying for 6 years. If you're a defensive tackle or a guard who's not going to the NFL, probably helps to be a 5th-year, 6-year guy, but they changed the rules.
That's interesting.
Now they're kicking
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like a bad move on their part.
Yeah, because they used to do the grad stuff. It's not even fair to say on a low level, but it was a lower level than Joe Blow, who's just applying because they graduated from undergrad from Chicago. You know what I mean? University of Chicago. Now it's all the same, and they don't keep. What's his name? The quarterback who went to Mississippi State, KJ Costello. That's why he went to Mississippi State last year, because he couldn't get into grad school.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was just bad.
Well, I mean, that helps. But, yeah, they just can't.
They're never going to get a grad transfer then. That's well, I guess they could.
Really tough. They can't.
If they want to get a master's.
Really tough. But it's really tough.
I feel like they would have to. That would have to be their goal. Would be the master's before the football.
It's very tough now.
All right, we
spent
way too much time talking about Stanford recruiting. Let's talk about Washington perspective.
That they are actually the ones who can talk about academic prowess.
They are indeed.
Not UW.
Yeah. So what is UW's, you know, philosophy then? Because I thought it was they, you know, churn out NFL talent, and that they coach up players to make them better. But is it that they only get smart kids in there? What is it, all of the above?
That was Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson was all about turning three stars into NFL players. That was his thing at Boise. That was his thing at, you know, Washington. Now that he's not there anymore, apparently their recruiting strategy is only go after the smarties, right? Yeah. That's why they're losing recruiting battles. And Oregon's not a rival in recruiting. Sure. That's why all of their fans obsess about Oregon recruiting, and they always lose out in direct, you know, competition for recruits, like Franklin, for instance. I saw a good tweet this week that they're going to be playing in Seattle, so Franklin could still commit to Washington in the end.
I'm hearing he's a secret verbal. That's what I'm hearing.
He could still flip.
Silent commit.
He could still flip, boys.
He could still flip.
Is this the dumbest slash like worst timed coach quote to come out in a long time, at least? I mean, what is Lake doing here?
It feels like it, especially coming off the rankings coming out and Oregon being in the top four. Like, I feel like this would be a perfect time to catch Oregon off guard and beat them. Like, Oregon has sort of a history of this, if we're being honest, of you know, suddenly being touted and then fucking blowing up on national TV. And this would be the absolute perfect time for Washington to do something and come out and beat Oregon and ruin their season and make their season, frankly. And so him giving Oregon any motivation whatsoever is just fucking stupid. Like, Mario was asked about it this week. He'll say, we don't care. We don't listen to that bullshit. Bullshit. I guarantee you 1000% players talked about that. The coaches talked about that. This is already a rivalry game. I love it. Like, in the streets, Mario's like, yeah, we're going for 1-0, all that good stuff. All the players are reflecting that. It's wonderful. I don't buy it for a second that they didn't talk about that.
Well, not even necessarily for this game, but I mean, could you not see Cristobal somehow using this in recruiting going forward, at least for while Lake is there, for who knows how long he's actually going to be there for? But
yeah, I don't know that he would. I could see the assistants doing it, though. Well, like, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
Cristobal telling them to do it, but yes.
Yeah.
He's a mob bot style. You just be stupid. Don't get your hands dirty.
He'd be stupid not to. Why wouldn't you? You use everything at your disposal to beat teams in recruiting. Why not? You know, within the loss.
Well, trying to say we need another Willie Lyles here.
My favorite thing on the Jimmy Lake quote from Monday is how
Willie Lyles led to some pretty solid t-shirts from us, guys.
It's true.
Yeah.
Is how he backed it up last night on the coach's show with the, you guys saw that, right?
No.
With Softy?
Nope.
Where Softy asked him, hey, Jimmy, one word to describe Oregon. Stuttered and stammered. Was like, ha, 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 you know, how about three words? Softy was like, okay, because my one word would have been, I don't know what it was, but like trash, you know, something along poison. That's Oregon. Yeah, one word, describe Oregon. I said, okay, you can do three words to describe Oregon. And it was like, the school from down south. And Softy was like, that's four words.
More than three, coach.
And Jimmy Lake was like, oh, you're right. Dang, that was four words.
Oh, my just God.
A tremendous just closing of the book on his academic prowess bullshit.
Because
you know what pained Softy? You know Softy was so mad where he had to be like, My guy, I gave you three, and you're giving me four. And I have to correct you. God damn it, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're making me the bad guy here.
He was so mad. And the video is great. But the video of it is great because Softy is like, his exact phrasing was, yeah, that's technically four words. And you could see Jimmy, like, he's...
he had to think about it.
Gears are moving. Oh, you're right. Damn it. I sat on that joke for 2.5 days and I fucked it up.
He is doofy. I didn't know that about Jimmy Lake. He's a doof.
I do remember last year, I think after they beat Utah, I think it doesn't matter who they beat, but it was one of those things where, because of COVID, you know, they isolate the interviewees and they're interviewing him in the end zone. And I was like, man, this guy is like a dork.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not good at talking.
Yeah.
Like, Mario is a meathead, right? But Mario, when he does that coach interview, he can get that coach face with that gravelly voice, you know, say a brother.
I watched a lot of press conferences of Mario.
Right.
Especially this year, and he is very composed and knows exactly what he's saying with every answer.
Right. And granted, Jimmy's a young head coach, but yep. From that moment last year, which still sticks in my head, to this week and some other stuff this year, he is not good with a microphone, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because when he was the defensive coordinator or co-defensive coordinator, he had such good quips about Mike Leach and the Wazoo offense. They do the same thing every year, so nothing's hard. But, you know, now he's bad.
Now he's forced to talk more.
Yes. So that's really what it is.
Well, should we just get into Washington or should we talk about Colorado? We're already talking about Washington.
I'll say two things about the Colorado game.
Well, no, I want to break it down because there were some very good things in that game. So shall we just finish Washington first? Because I feel like we're going to talk about Colorado a lot.
Are we?
I don't know. Okay. Go ahead. No, do your thing. We'll flow. Whatever.
Well, my thing with the Colorado game is twofold. The people that refuse to ever give Anthony Brown credit. Can't throw that pass against the Los Angeles Rams, Anthony Brown. Oh, and you want to throw that against the Purple People Eaters? Oh, not happening, Anthony.
I saw a couple people say, It's almost like they were begrudgingly giving him credit for a couple of the plays he made. For instance, the pass to Franklin, one of the best throws an Oregon quarterback has made in the last few years. Like, that was amazing. Having his leg held, body turned essentially the wrong way, thrown over the defender to Franklin, who caught it for a touchdown. That's a fantastic fucking play. And then they're almost begrudgingly giving him credit for it. Like, that was a pretty good throw.
It was all right.
It was a pretty good throw.
And then
immediately after the game, oh, Anthony Brown, 25 of 31, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah, but do it against a good team. Did we not watch the Ohio State game? He played really good against Ohio State.
Did we not watch the backup play against Colorado and get pulled against Colorado?
That narrative, like, is in fucking shambles right now.
Gone.
It's done. Like,
it has to be.
Like, if there's anybody listening who is still in that boat, I implore you, just adapt. Like, evolve your opinion. Like, watch what is actually happening and evolve. We sat here on this podcast a month ago and we're destroying Anthony Brown. Like, throw the ball down the field. You're the least accurate quarterback I've ever seen. He was throwing like 40%. So we were destroying him, rightfully so. He has gotten much better as the year's gone on. He just
has. Since he got booed. since he got booed, you could say the last two games might be his two best games. Ohio State, he was pretty good in that. But these last two games have been a completely different quarterback.
In the fourth quarter in that game. Yeah. Remember, he ran for a touchdown and threw for a touchdown. Like, he killed it. And he's been killing it since. So adapt. Your quarterback is playing well right now. Support him. Root for him. Don't stop actively rooting against your team. I know we've been hammering on this for like the last few weeks, but like, be happy your team is fourth in the playoff rankings. Be happy your team still only has that one stupid loss that they shouldn't have. Just be happy. Be happy right now. If they lose to Washington, by all means, like, blow up the ship. Like, I will feel similarly. We will be doing an emergency podcast Saturday night, crying into microphones. Oregon just lost to Washington. So, like, enjoy it.
Please don't let it happen.
Please, God, don't let that happen. don't come back into the state of Oregon, Ducks. Just don't do it. Just stay in Seattle.
Jump into Columbia. We don't need to see you.
Exactly. So Oregon did play well. Like, their offense, I will say, with Brown coming along, Devin Williams is suddenly the receiver he was supposed to be. And it makes you wonder where the fuck he was for half the season, right?
I will on that note, Nathan in Lynn or Benton County, I don't know. They all, it's the same. When you call it Lynn Benton, I don't know what's Lynn. And I don't Lynn, know what's Benton.
It's Lynn hyphen Benton, right?
I don't know. I feel like Benton's on the left side of I-5 from Eugene, and Lynn's on the right side. I feel like that's how it works.
They're the same thing.
But he pointed out, and he sent me a video that, like, from, you know, weeks ago, and then, you know, the other day. That the thing with Devin Williams, and Mario was really consistent about it, and not like hammering it home in a bad way.
Like the practice stuff?
Yeah, just being like, he's not practicing well. And then, you know, the last couple of weeks, Mario's like, he's practicing well. And you're seeing the byproduct of him practicing well.
Man, he's playing
well. There's that train of thought that you always play your best guy. And in a position like receiver, I mean, I can see you can't do that with a quarterback or a tackle. You know, I get that. But he's clearly looking pretty good.
He's looking really, really good. You know, my favorite play from that game?
His catch where he caught it and then circled around.
Yes! The screen.
That was a Colorado play. That ain't happening on Saturday.
Yeah. Remember the play D'Anthony made where he like cut back and forth and had the guy running back?
That was a Wazoo play.
Yeah, that's a Wazoo play.
It was a Wazoo play.
Oh, so man. I will try to maybe save face a little bit for the receivers because they're young kids. And you got to think those first six games, I mean, they're running routes downfield where they think there's 0% chance that ball is coming to them. You maybe start getting a little lazy and taking plays off, and, you know, it translates into maybe not practicing as hard also. But now you can see these last two games, Brown actually, like, throwing the ball downfield. You see a little spark in some of these receivers out there. You know, they're not just jogging out their routes now, I should say, kind of how it is.
Yeah, and something I think about every once in a while that doesn't really get talked about ever, it's they're college kids. So they're like 19 and 20 years old, and they got shit going on, you know? Like, they're going to school, they got chicks, they're figuring out, like, life. And sometimes that shit gets in the way of football. Like, we don't think about that very often because we watch the NFL, and it's like these are grown men. This is their job. This is what they're focusing on.
And, on that note, though, I've spent 2 weeks listening to like Jim Rome and Colin Cowherd say, hey, you want to know what? Patrick Mahomes looks distracted because his younger brother does TikTok. So I'm saying,
that's a dumb take.
Welcome to my hell. Welcome to my hell.
I'm so sorry, Chiefs fan. I'm so sorry.
I know.
My team, I mean, you guys got the win. You'll take it. 49ers, 49ers figured it out against the Bears, by the way. Jesus, Jimmy going for 300 all of a sudden. I don't know where that came from. I'll take it, though.
Yeah, see, the Chiefs are back.
Yeah.
4-4, baby. About to be 5-4, playing Vegas next weekend. Woo! If they win that one, they go 6-4 to head to the Cowboy game. The Chiefs are back!
Do you see who the Niners might be playing at quarterback this week? Playing against?
No.
Playing against Arizona. Kyler Murray might not play. You know who their backup is?
It's not Josh Hundley? Rosen, is it?
It's Niners legend Colt McCoy.
Ooh, pew, pew.
Ooh. Ooh. Let's go.
Love Colt McCoy.
I will say, as King, as a Chiefs fan, is there anyone more annoying than Mahomes' brother, though?
Oh, he's the worst. He's
the worst, right? He's the worst.
Yeah. Because he's not even good at TikTok.
No, that's...
Like, he doesn't have rhythm. He just does the... Every single time, and I know.
Does he dab every time?
Like, yes, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
But every video I've seen, there's been a chick in it with him, which is, I assume, driving up his TikTok followers.
About half of those are Pat's fiance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. That would be distracting as the husband / pro football player. If my wife's doing dumb TikTok videos with my brother.
Like, you know, like...
Well, the one he's sitting there like
Saturday, stop it. Chef Saturday and Mina Kimes and Laura Rutledge and Dan Orlovsky. They're like, you know what? Pat Mahomes just can't play against a double safety shell. No, that's not what it is. He can't play against a TikToking brother. And
it's TikTok,
Beyonce.
Bro.
I mean, have you seen his TikToks, Dan?
He's just trying to have a nice dinner at like Benihana and his wife and brother are just like dancing in his face and just like, how is he supposed to concentrate on next week's game with that happening?
Though, in fairness, those videos were from like July.
Yeah.
I know that like kind of crushed the narrative, but yeah. It was funny. People were like, wait a minute. I'm looking at that timestamp. That says July 30th.
There has been some good tweets, though, with there was like a little roped off area on the sideline. Like,
that was a fantastic tweet.
That was good. Yeah, well, that was very good.
Like, in fairness, Jackson Mahomes doing TikToks in a roped off area for Sean Taylor's memorial.
Hilarious.
What the fuck, dude?
That's hilarious. So good.
You just thought they roped that off for you?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Oh. Hey, good for him though. That guy don't have to work a day in his life.
Yeah, for several reasons. Brother can support him, and TikTok kids are making millions of dollars, man. I ain't even mad at it.
Still, I'm just know my age. I'm still baffled at TikTok.
I refuse. There's a very
There's some very entertaining channels and stuff, but it seems like half or more is just like a 10-second video of them dancing.
That's pretty much it.
That gets you millions of dollars. It's like, man.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, it's mostly like, tee hee, I'm 19 and 20. Look at me. I'm cute. Dab. Yeah. Oh, okay. I gotcha. Oh, so, the popular song of the month. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
So I've seen how some of these like IG people make money. You know, they'll have the sponsored message or whatever that they put out.
Hashtag.
Yeah. How do you do it on TikTok?
You can throw hashtags on
hashtags?
TikTok.
Yeah. So hashtag Pepsi, hashtag sponsored content, hashtag.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Are you saying that do we need a podcast TikTok?
Ooh.
Do we start getting some?
I don't have the energy for TikTok.
Yeah, you're in charge of that one, bud.
No. I was going to say, what if we bring a new form of it of just like raging at the games? You know, fan on the couch, little 10-second clip. There's plenty of those, but you make a whole channel of it.
My guy, you make that TikTok, you do those videos, I will share
them.
I'm
going to take
all
the money, if that's the case.
Shit. I'll share them on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
I'm trying to get some coin in all of our pockets here.
Get all the money. I'm with it. I'm with it. Like, I'll post them.
Philanthropist. Yeah, damn, Jesus. Look at you. No one eats unless we all eat, baby.
Also, I'm pretty sure we start making money on this, Donnie's going to be coming after us at some point, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
he started all this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
He's just waiting until it's monetized.
There you go.
I know you're listening, 3D. Yeah. I see you out there.
Would you say he is the Dave Portnoy of this?
Whoa, not after today. No. Easy. We don't need to go down that road.
I love that idea, though. It's like his 10-year plan. to wait it out till it monetizes.
Slow play.
Oh yeah.
Oh god. All right. Colorado, are you concerned with the defense at all? Just the fact that they gave up points?
No, because I think they gave up 15 points in the fourth, and they pulled most of the starters. I think two defensive possessions left in the third.
They pulled all of the starters, gave up a touchdown, and then put the offensive starters back in, and then a lot of the defensive starters were still out.
And what I would say is, so maybe the starters should have given up one touchdown instead of two. I honestly don't care about the last 15 points.
Right.
But if you watch it, because like last week we were raving, oh my god, they had Sewell on one side and Thibodeau on the other, and they're rushing. They are just unleashing them. And you want to know what they really didn't do this week?
That. Yeah.
It's annoying, because it'd be kind of cool to watch Thibodeau get 3.5 sacks in the first half and just kind of end it. But it's just kind of, that's just how it is. And that's just a real Mario thing. They get real vanilla, which if they got vanilla when they were up 24-0, okay. But they just start out the games like that. And I just don't quite get the method behind it. Because they're not good enough to just do that. Like, they're not Georgia's defense. But they did it against Arizona. Granted, they were really shorthanded. And they did it against Colorado. Yeah. And it was really apparent against Colorado.
Yeah, Foot was sort of off the gas defensively.
Yeah.
Whereas offensively, it was sort of the opposite.
Offense
was going after it, yeah.
Yeah. Might have to look into Chris. Paul might have some money on these games.
I didn't have a problem with it. The only thing I was a little bit concerned about was how good Lewis was, like their quarterback, how efficient he was, because they didn't really pressure him. He was kind of, throwing jump balls that the Ducks corners were losing. That's kind of concerning a little bit. But then again, Brendan Rice is good. He is tall. He can jump high and he can make those plays. So it's not out of the range of, possibility. But that said, Colorado's offense has been like historically bad before this game. So
I just kind of feel like in that first half, you wanted to see them squash them. Just give up a field goal,
But that's not Mario. We've talked.
This is just a hard adjustment to make.
This is as big of a blowout as Mario's going to get.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is.
And also, just like the Tim DeRuiter defensive scheme, where he's like, you want to know what? Anytime you want a 5-yard gain on a crossing route,
have at it.
Again, I get it. We've talked about it before. Eventually, he knows KT or Sewell or Funa or Verone, they're going to make a play on a 9-play drive eventually. I get it. But it's still, I don't know. It's weird to watch.
It's painful to watch at times.
So I feel like he didn't do that at Cal. Like, I'd be totally lying if I was like, oh, I remember that Tim DeRuiter Texas A&M defense with Von Miller. I don't remember that at all. No one watched the Big 12 back then. But I feel like his defense at Cal was kind of attacking.
Super disciplined.
That's kind of how I remember it.
I remember them being really
just disciplined.
Super disciplined.
Evan Weaver, like Ashton Davis. They just, I don't know. It's a weird watch. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat or anything like dramatic like that.
Sure.
It's an odd watch paired with Mario's very clearly, his very clear trend is, you want to know what? We're going to beat this team regardless. Let's just be vanilla.
Just do it the way I want. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Georgia. I actually looked this up this week because I was looking up Washington stuff. Georgia has given up 6 touchdowns this year.
That's insane.
226 yards a game.
That's why when Oregon checked in at number 4, what? I was like, "Whoa,
you don't want them. You
don't want them. We got to play Georgia next September anyway. Can we just skip this one in January?
Yo, Ty Thompson better. Ty Thompson better figure it out. Is all I'm saying.
I will say, I earlier this week I was reading something from like a Georgia website or whatever.
Right.
And in fairness, not in fairness, but luckily for us, they're expecting that 9 or 10 starters on the defense will go pro.
They'll be gone.
So
fingers crossed
they replace those 5 stars with more young 5 stars.
Yeah, right. Inexperienced 5 stars.
Can we get Thibodeau to come back for 1 week next year?
Yeah. All right. So the reason I looked that up, do we want to transition to Washington? We should mention that like the first touchdowns for Cardwell and 7 and Franklin. Like the hole for Cardwell up the middle was the biggest hole in the history of rushing touchdowns, I think, for the long touchdown run. But he looked good. He really did.
Well, I was going to say, that was a combo of Dye didn't look great.
He didn't have to. Cardwell dropped 27
on like 6 carries.
Dye did catch 5 passes for 71 yards and a touchdown. So he got over 100 yards all purpose. Got finished with 3 touchdowns. 7 touchdowns in 2 games for Travis Dye, by the way. Like, what the fuck? Okay. And then, you know, seven coming in. Like, they like in the first half, they did a flat out 3 running back rotation. Like, each guy had a series, which was kind of fun to see. I'm into it. If they're going to produce and the offensive line's going to block like that, do it.
Well, was this a game where you want to see more Cardwell now?
Yes.
Like, do you still want Dye to get, you know, by far the majority of the carries?
I like Dye out there, but
I would. I'd like to see.
I like him out there for receiving, like you were saying. Yeah. I like him out there because he's going to be out there catching the ball. But I'm starting to think maybe you start splitting this. I mean, we'll see how he does this week. But if he still continues to produce, maybe you start splitting rushes a little more even between those two.
Yeah, and it'd be nice the rest of the way to be able to rest.
Beat him up so much.
Exactly. Yeah. I would like to see him get the majority of the touches against Washington. I just would. I would like to see that early. I want him to play the first like 3 series exclusively unless he needs a breather. And I want to see him get a lot of touches. I want to see Oregon put away Washington very early, get it out of the way, and then we can see lots of both.
Well, we just said Mario does not do that, so
I know.
Wishful thinking.
It's a quote unquote big game in prime time rivalry game.
So Mario
talking shit.
Mario doesn't say that. Travis Dye does say that. Like he doesn't say it, but he feels it. Like the Dye brothers hate them some Washington.
Yes, they do.
I am excited to see his excitement this week.
Are you guys concerned about the Washington game?
A little bit in that Washington's defense is good.
Well, their defense is good.
Their pass defense is very good.
Their rushing defense is atrocious.
It's not good.
It moved up to 10th in the Pac-12 and like 97th in the nation because Stanford was like, you want to know what? We are the worst Power 5 rushing team. We're just not going to rush.
Yeah.
So here's 12 rushes on Saturday. Like, have fun with that.
So they're 9th in opponents' touchdowns. They're 24th in the nation in yards per game. So you know that about their horrible rush defense, but they're still 24th in the nation in yards per game. So they're a good defense. They're not giving up a ton of points. So they do give up those yards, you know, in the run game, but they're not giving up a ton of points. And so in that, I'm a little bit concerned. Other than that, I think Oregon's better than them physically. I think their offensive line is playing so well right now that they should be able to continue that against Washington.
And they allegedly are getting Forsythe back.
Exactly which, that. Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that because Mario's a liar on that.
He's been day to day for like 2-3 weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's been practicing in full all week, guys.
My like one concern about this week is that Anthony Brown being pretty good. Granted, you can question the fourth quarter against UCLA. I get it. But basically, his two best games back to back. If they get a little high on the hog on that and want to throw against UW secondary, that's a little dicey.
It is.
I feel like this is a never, this is almost a hashtag never pass game.
You just guaranteed that they're going to come out throwing the whole first quarter.
Well not having Johnny Johnson too, that's going to hurt as well. That's going to hurt in the screen game too.
If they want to throw screens, whatever.
Yeah.
Fine.
Extension of the run game, right?
Yeah, but if they want to do that like thing that Wazoo always does, where they just throw 9-yard hitches and UW just defends them all game, that could be troubling.
Yeah.
I kind of have this theory now that Washington is just a good matchup for Mario Cristobal. Some schools are not a good matchup. Like Arizona State might be a wacky matchup because they're going to throw it downfield. They're going to try and score, blah, 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 blah. Mario could probably go into any Washington game forever and be like, if we score 30 points, we win. Like we just win. If we score 24, it's close.
I also think this game being 4:30 ABC, Kayvon Thibodeau's not going to have the same game he had against Colorado. Against Washington.
I listened to a Colorado beat writer today be like, oh, yeah, they really schemed Thibodeau out of the game. Like,
no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
No, they really didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, they really didn't.
Well, I'll say they did in the sense that they threw really quick passes.
And they also ran 12 personnel, which he said they hadn't done in 2 years.
Yeah.
They just had two tight ends every possession. Yeah.
If you want to do that, you're probably not going to score a whole bunch of points.
Right. I mean, but yeah, that's the thing. Okay. Good for you. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Washington has played 6 games this year that have been decided by a touchdown or less. That's pretty insane. They won their last two. Let's see. They lost against Oregon State and then UCLA. Then they won their last two. So that experience for them, if it is a close game, you know, is, I mean, Oregon's, you know, been pretty similar. I'm just bringing it up to say that both teams have experience in that. And so Washington, I think we look at the Montana game and think Washington is just the worst team ever, and the Arizona game for that matter. But it's weird because I think Dylan Morris is pretty much everything for them. Like if he plays even halfway decent, then they have a chance in their games. If he sucks, which he has sucked for most of the year, then they don't. Then they're going to lose.
I feel like this is a game where the pass rush really kind of envelops him in a way that, like, Colorado and Arizona fucking suck. But you want to know what they had? Pretty athletic quarterbacks, especially Arizona. He threw bad picks, but he was running all over the place. You want to know what Dylan Morris isn't going to do? Outrun Thibodeau and Sewell and Dorless. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Because I'm not scared of him one bit.
No. I think this will be a big game for the secondary. Like you said, they're going to get pressure on him. He's going to make some bad throws. They got to do what they've been doing, just pick those balls off.
Speaking of picks, let's get to lines.
Lines, lines, everywhere, lines. Picking lines, and we're doing lines. Lines.
Lines.
Lines. All right. And to start off lines here, I have a song for one of us.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you ready?
I bet it's Don't Call It a Comeback. Is it Don't Call It a... I can't hear it. Oh, you got your head thing now. You got to hold it up to your...
Yeah, how's that?
I can't really make it out. I don't know what that is.
No? All right, well... That was Zero by Imagine Dragon.
Did Dragons. Somebody get a zero?
Somebody did get a zero.
Uh-oh.
And that person was King, zero. Braga, you had one. And because of my beautiful contrarian picks, I had three.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Are you only down six now?
Wow.
I am only down three to you, Braga. You're in the lead. I'm down three to you, two to King. Comeback has been in effect. So
I will say the only pick that I actually from last week really hate myself on is the Stanford one.
Stanford, yeah.
I should have fucking known. Yeah. But in the back of my head, I was like, oh, David Shaw will just be like, fuck it, run it. Fuck it, run it.
And I changed course on that one. Remember, I picked Washington and felt shitty about it and changed my mind.
Yeah. It's the only one I really regret. The other ones, I was just straight up wrong. I'll eat it. That one, I didn't like it at the time.
Yep.
But Stanford fucks us a lot, so
yes.
God damn it.
Which should be something you pay attention to, listener. Do not pick lines with your emotions. Pick lines with your
ones that fucked us. We got me and Braga both star picked the Beavs. Yeah. They fucked us. USC, God, fucked us. And then UCLA. I mean, we all just kind of got routed there.
And London got hurt for USC too.
Yeah.
That sucks. He's like the only reason to watch USC.
So if you don't pick lines with your emotions, what do you snort them with?
Ooh. Mind blown.
So to speak.
All right. So first game, speaking of Stanford! Utah at Stanford. Utah 8.5 points.
God, fuck Stanford. Give me the Utes. I don't fucking care. I'm over fucking Stanford.
Stanford! I'm taking Utah too.
I'm so tired of picking these Pac-12 games between.
I hate both these teams, like Utah and Stanford.
Like, I don't like these teams. They're bad.
Hey, just wait till the other games. This is not a good slate.
Like, they're randomly good. Like, who the fuck knows what any of these teams are going to be from week to week? Yeah, Utah, sure, whatever.
Go Utes.
It's not. I'm not going to pick Stanford after
Stanford.
God.
Just wait till we see Utah in the Rose Bowl.
Stanford's gonna win by like 17.
Okay.
Fucking God.
All right, and next game, it's staying on great games here. We have Cal at Arizona. Cal 10.5 point favorite.
And the mystery here is that Cal has multiple starters out for COVID. We just don't know who.
Don't know who, but.
Fuck it. I don't know.
Arizona. I got Arizona to win. I love it. Arizona's finally going to win a game.
Let's do it. You're saying
they're winning too?
And you know what? You know what? Make it my star pick.
Star pick!
Let's go!
Do it! Bear down, baby!
I'm riding Zona with you too.
No,
get on the bus! Yeah. Get on the Zona
point
bus!
Here. I'm picking up a point here.
Because I did see a tweet saying there's they said a lot of starters out. So they don't know what, but a lot is not good for your team.
I'm just not turning my back on Oregon legend Justin Wilcox. Go Junction City. Let's go.
Let's go Junction City. I want this Arizona streak to continue. Because is it up to 20 now?
I think it's 18. 19?
Yeah.
19. I want to see that get to 20. But
it will.
this is their one game to win is this now.
By the way, King, I think you're the only person I know who shows pride in Junction City.
So, oh, I love JC.
Good for you.
Lockmead Dairy, let's go. Let's go, Lockmead.
Like the turd nugget of the Willamette Valley, Junction City.
I think they still have an A&W.
I'm sorry.
Show
Dingleberry.
Some respect.
Dingleberry
show some
is
respect
the word I was looking
JC.
For. No.
You want to know who else's initials are JC? Jesus Christ. How about you find God, guys? You guys are
Jamison Crowder?
You guys are Jamison Crowder. Get the fuck that's out pre- here.
That's a pretty quick. I guess he was just playing, but I was gonna say that's pretty quick thinking. I think
that was a really player. That was a quick reflex.
All right, next fantastic game. We got the Beavs at Colorado. Beavs 10.5-point favorite.
Beavs star pick.
After the way Colorado played last week. Yeah, I got Oregon State. Oregon State needs to bounce back. I think they do.
All right, yeah, I got the Baylor, Beavs. Baby.
Yeah, man.
I got the Beavs as well. All right, next game we got another, who knows what, USC at Arizona State. Arizona State, 8.5-point favorite. It's
no idea how to pick that.
I'll start. I'll take USC. This seems like a game Arizona State should win, but might lose and probably won't cover. So we'll go with them.
I don't know who's good on USC anymore. Like now that London's gone, like who scores points for them? Who gets yards?
Alapai.
Like Arizona State sucks too. Again, randomly. Like randomly, Arizona State's really, really good. Randomly, they suck. USC? I don't know.
I'm going to ASU. Okay. Just because they both suck, and this will be the reason why, like, next year, people will be like, you want to know what? ASU really kind of controlled USC the whole game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'll conveniently leave out that USC lost, like, 7 games.
And their best player was
definitely
hurt.
All right.
What year is Slovis?
I think he's a junior.
Jesus.
Well, he's probably actually because of COVID, he's probably technically a sophomore.
He's like sophomore. Yeah.
Can you imagine being it's a like USC fan and knowing he's going to start for like at least 2 more years? Like, oh.
Remember when people thought he was good? Remember that national push?
Well, he's a USC quarterback. So
and then no matter what, you know, because of it all, this September, Keaton Slovis, Graham Harrell. Clay Helton, sneaky Heisman contender? Maybe.
I would not be surprised if he was on like the top 5 Heisman watch list for quarterbacks.
He will.
At least.
He will.
Yeah.
So, see, Brown was on like the top
the
10.
The Johnny U
Award. Yeah. That's funny. I'm okay with that. Right, sure.
So to continue with just awful games. There's only one top 25 matchup, and it was Auburn and A&M, and they're two average teams, so fuck them. I picked Ohio State at Nebraska.
No.
Ohio State, 15.5 points at Brasky.
Yeah, they cover the fuck out of that. Nebraska's not good. I got Ohio State.
I'm taking Ohio State, too. Should be a rout. I mean.
Root.
I think I'm going to go Nebraska just because I can see middle of fourth quarter. Hey, you want to know what? Scott Frost, maybe he's turned it around. And then they lose by, 16. I'm going Nebraska. And I hate it. I hate myself for doing it.
Good for you.
They're going to lose, but I think they're going to cover.
Scott Frost homer pick. I like it.
I love Scott Frost.
Oh,
throw the fade, baby.
Yeah. He's so blonde. He's just so blonde.
You just can't recruit to Eugene.
All right, last game. No rock, baby. All right. Last game, Ducks, Huskies. Ducks, 7.5-point favorite.
Ducks.
Yeah, I got Oregon, too.
I mean, I don't think you're going to win by 30 or anything, but. Yeah, I think they're going to cover.
I love this because I'm taking the Ducks as well as my star pick. So all 3 of us picking them.
They're going to lose for sure. Sure.
Dylan Morris is going to shred them.
350 at least.
Yeah. An efficient 350 on like 23 passes.
75% completion percentage, 350 yards.
Kate Otten will have 11 catches, 186 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
He finally has his big breakout game of the year.
Sean McGrew finally runs good behind the UW offensive line and has 13 carries for 36 yards.
Yeah. Monster.
I was listening to a radio interview today, and the guy was talking about him and how he didn't get a touch in the first 2 weeks, even though he's like the sixth year senior guy. And then they started giving him the ball, and he actually started producing for them, unlike the other guys on their team. So
he has like 320 yards rushing this year.
Yep. That said, 125, two scores against Oregon. Book it.
Oh, yeah.
Book it. Yep.
Yeah, book it.
All right. Get to our list. So I came up with the list this week. It is our... So I initially, and my list is based on this, I initially came up with top three fictional dogs, and then the goalpost got pushed to just top three dogs, which is fine. That's fine. So we're going top three dogs, and I'm just letting you know that all three of mine are fictional dogs. So just heads up.
Fair enough.
Shall I start? I'll start. My number three is Brian Griffin. I don't know. He's great. Family Guy. He's like the only redeeming quality from Family Guy, I think. I don't know.
Is that still going?
When was the last time you actually watched Family Guy?
Live? I have no idea. But it's on every channel after 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
Do you watch it though? Do you actually
That and American Dad. Only because I'm like, you want to know what? 2014? Kind of a quaint time.
Yeah. Now, hang on. Do you watch American Dad?
I kind of like American
Dad. Are they still making new American Dads?
I have no idea. I'm just saying. Are they?
It's on like TBS or something like that now.
Good for Seth MacFarlane, man.
Just making so much money.
So much money. And then what's the space show he did?
Starts with Orville.
Orville. Yeah. Wait, was that it? Orville?
Yeah.
It was. Okay. Yeah. My mom was super into that show. She kept trying to get me to watch it. I don't know, I've heard good things about it. I got too many shows I'm watching, though. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen, Mom. Get off my back about it.
Good morning, USA.
You're right.
I'll turn this into... We can just turn this into an American Dad podcast.
I got a feeling that it's going to be a wonderful day.
Spinoff podcast. Let's do it.
All right, I guess I'll go.
The American Bad podcast.
Yes.
What?
All right. My number three favorite dog is Atomic Dog.
I've heard of it. I don't know what it's from. What's it from?
George Clinton, Atomic Dog.
Atomic Dog.
There you go.
This guy smokes pot.
That was definitely an indicator in high school. Someone loved Atomic Dog.
Yeah. What was the movie they were in? Was that PCU?
PCU, jeez.
PCU, yeah. Wasn't it, what's his face? It wasn't Favreau, was it? No. It was like a guy who looked like Favreau or something, was like the super stoner dude, and all of a sudden they somehow get George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars to play their like random frat party. It's an underrated movie, in my opinion. From that era.
My number three dog is Max Goof. Because, you know, his mom died under murky circumstances. His mom may have been a dog, may have been a cow. We don't really know. Goofy, you know, seems to have killed a milkman some time ago. It's a little murky. So I'm big shouts to Max Goof for, keeping on.
Thriving as a skateboarder.
Thriving.
With really good friends with Polly Shore, or the dog version of Polly Shore. The Weasel. We two people in these squares on the Zoom call have watched the Goofy movie.
Goof Troop.
Goof Troop, yeah. Is it me? Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
My number two is Yakko, Wacko, and Dot from Animaniacs. Three of them, I like it. That's like a formative show for me, formative cartoon for me. I used to absolutely love that show.
Are they actually dogs?
I think so, yeah. Yep.
Or are they cats?
No, they're dogs. They're definitely never dogs. Know. Yep. It's time for Animaniacs. It's good stuff. And they brought it back, and I watched like half of it and then stopped.
Yeah, I tried to get into the reboot. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I think I watched 2.5 episodes.
Yep.
Maybe 3.5, but whatever the half was, like, yeah.
It was like,
I'm out.
I enjoyed it, I guess, but it just, I didn't feel like I needed to finish it. It's okay. It had its time. Pinky in the Brain, all that.
I guess I'll go my number two. We're going a throwback for us with a Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, yes. Legendary
dog.
Just pounded Bud.
All right, just slanging suds.
Remember the Futurama version of that? It was like Slurms McKenzie or whatever. He's like, I'm so tired of partying. I'm so tired. Takes off his glasses. His eyes are just like beet red. All right, King.
My number two dog. Fred, the crime dog. McGriff.
Yeah, McGriff, the crime dog. Wait, so are we saying Fred McGriff or
McGriff, he's a crime dog? Dog. Okay. Crime dog.
I'm glad you said that because that goes with my number one.
Oh, boy.
Is that Fred McGriff?
No, it is not, okay. But it's
all right.
Close.
You can cut if you need to cut in line.
All right, I'll go. My number one is the hit dog, Mo Vaughn.
Oh!
He was called the hit dog?
Hit dog.
I don't remember that. That's great. Yep. That's a fantastic nickname. All right, my number one is Goofy. Because out there living that single dad life, just trying to make it, hitting on random cows, taking care of his son by himself. By the way, you mentioned it. Did they ever discuss his, like, Max's mom or what the deal is there at any point? I feel like I've watched a lot of Goofy stuff and the mom has never been mentioned once. And so, yeah, it's murky, murky at best. But Goofy's just out here doing his best, man. Big ups to Goofy. It's your one, King. You're left.
Okay. Oh, boy. This is a dicey one. It's really dicey. And I say this because I could be canceled. I could be canceled over cancel my number culture, one dog.
Hunter Biden's America.
My number one dog. Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Number one soup guy. Super racist. I'm not doing anything after
that. Super duper racist. Yeah, that is problematic.
The guy was eating cherry clans and showing you the box. It was super racist.
When was that made?
1974.
74? Yeah.
I had no idea it was so... I figured it was a mid-80s thing. Yeah, mid-70s.
That's kind of what I...
You know what I saw? I was looking through the Hulus the other day. I saw Love Guru. Remember Love Guru? Mike Myers movie?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Like, how did they get away with making that movie? Like,
what, Indian? Is there Indian face? Is that
yeah.
a thing?
So are you that's kidding a... me? And the voice? Like, holy shit. Like,
well, it's Mike Myers. He's wacky.
Mike Myers zany. He gets so many passes for appropriating cultures.
I kind of think that's why he's disappeared. Because he's like, you want to know what? I don't want to be Thomas C. Howell for Soul Man. Yeah. I'm just going to kind of, I've made $127 million. I'm just going to bow out.
Yeah, we can't make these Austin Powers jokes anymore. We're not going to do it. We can't do it, guys.
Which I kind of figured you said he went away because he made Love Guru, but
Love
Guru.
Do you
guys like the Austin Powers? The Austin Powers series.
Do I like them?
Yeah. Or did you like them?
Yes. Yeah, fucking Goldmember holds up like crazy. Foxy Cleopatra, she's a whole lot of woman.
That is a whole.
Yeah, they got Michael Caine for that movie, dude. Remember that?
Yes. Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Do your Michael Caine, everyone. What? Three. Okay. Three, two. We're going to go 3, 2, 1, and we're all going to say Michael Caine in Michael Caine, right? 3, 2, 1.
Michael Caine.
I am Michael Caine. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. She was Bruce. 16 years old.
Master Wayne.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Yes. Michael Caine.
Man, Ski, it needs work, dude.
Let's hear your solo.
I'm trying to remember. There's supposed to be like a phrase you say that's supposed to be like Michael Caine. It's
Michael Caine. It's his name.
I know, but it's supposed to be a phrase that you use to for it.
Like a mnemonic device or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Because you kind of just like you get rid of a bunch of letters out of it. Like Caine. It's like real short at the end.
How does it go? People want to hear.
Michael Caine. It's somewhere in there.
It's in the neighborhood.
It's somewhere in there.
In the ballpark.
Yeah, I think the thing I heard, if you want to talk like Michael Caine, God, I can't remember who did it. They were like, if you want to talk like Michael Caine. And I can't remember, but it was something.
So
something
there was a movie called slow. The Trip. There was a movie called The Trip with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. The dueling Michael Caines. And that was fantastic.
Michael Caine.
And then I think the next one they did dueling like Mick Jagger's or something like that.
Ooh, can you do a Mick Jagger?
Ooh, good question.
I don't think I can. I have no idea how to do a
right,
Mick Jagger.
Mate. Right, mate.
I thought it was just how you move. I thought it was all physical. That's how you do
hips
Jagger.
Like,
you gotta
hips like Jagger, man. Hips like Jagger.
Next week, we have to have our own shitty limited Mick Jagger, okay?
So we'll practice it for a week and then we'll come back.
And we got to say like eat London broil. That'll be our thing. Eat London broil. Yeah. I love the Stones. I don't know. I have no idea how to do a shitty
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. I have no idea. I could do like the body contusions.
That's the thing. That's why I thought it was all physical.
Convulsions.
It's all lips and hips, man.
Oh, that's what she said.
It is. To Mick Jagger, probably. lots of she said that to Mick Jagger. All right, shall we get to trivia? Or do we want to do more impersonations of people?
You want anybody to else? Talk like Mick Jagger.
it needs some work.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It needs a week's work. All right. I think Ski started last week off. So, King, this is going to be yours to start off with. Doing Washington trivia for those of you who have not heard it. I ask a question, and then the first person has a chance to just answer it. Second person gets three options, multiple choice after that. Excuse me. And then whoever gets it right gets a point. And there's 10 questions, best of 10. King, mascot question out of the way early. What is the name of Washington's live dog mascot? Not the one in the suit.
See, I feel like that's a trick question because it's definitely Dubs, but I don't know if it's Dubs 3 or Dubs 4.
Leave the numbers out.
It's Dubs.
It is Dubs. That is correct. The person in the suit, that one's name is Harry.
Yeah. Oh, down to Washington.
Should I do some West Side Connection to open up this episode? or should I wait? Like if Oregon wins, then you do the bow down.
Oh yeah. You don't want to jinx it too much.
Fair enough. All right, Ski. Washington earned a split national title in 91. What team did they beat in the Rose Bowl to finalize that in 92?
92 Rose Bowl, dang. Mm-hmm. Michigan?
Oh, that is correct. 34-14 win over Michigan. King, what are the Huskies' official colors? Two of them.
Purple and gold?
Oh, that is correct. 3-for-3, boys.
I thought you were going to tell me like purple,
know, right?
Sand or something. Magenta. Yeah, like
the specific
eggplant, tone. Eggplant, yeah. And gold.
Yeah.
Or aubergine, isn't that the fancy aubergine?
Somebody's been going to Home Depot.
look at old Dutch boy over here.
That's right. Skeet, what is the name of the Huskies' only number one overall draft pick ever?
Brunel?
It is not Brunel. Your options, King. Lincoln Kennedy, Steve Entman, or Marcus Peters?
Steve Entman.
That is a correct answer. King, who is Washington's all-time leader in career rushing yards and touchdowns?
So I'm going to just be lazy and say Napoleon Kaufman, but I know you're going to be like, you want to know what? It's Rich Alexis.
It's not Rich Alexis. It's also not Napoleon Kaufman. Your options, Ski. Napoleon Kaufman, Bishop Sankey, or Miles Gaskin?
This feels like a Bishop Sankey. Yes, Bishop Sankey.
It is Miles Gaskin. Gaskin, the only Washington running back over 5,000 career yards, 5,323 and 57 touchdowns. It's a good career. So this goes to Ski now. This is one of the biggest movie stars in the history of movies. Never once starred in a box office hit, though. Born in San Francisco, went on to star alongside Chuck Norris, was the star of Green Hornet, among other things that would give away the answer for sure. Who is he?
Bruce Lee.
That is correct. Bruce Lee went to UW. I did not know that until I was doing this.
I've been to his gravesite.
It was in Seattle.
Yep. Yeah. His movies, of course, went on to make lots of money. So like Enter the Dragon ended up making like 200 million worldwide or something like that. But like box office, not so much. King, this is one of the most famous musicians ever. Studied accounting at Washington before pursuing his career as a composer, producer, and smooth jazz sax player. He has sold more than 75 million records worldwide. What's his name?
Kenny G, baby.
Kenny G is right. You guys are killing this. Did I make these too easy?
Well, I feel like you wanted me to say Jimi Hendrix there. But
Kenny G's like right up your wheelhouse anyway. So.
Oh, I love me some Kenny G.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of funneled that in.
I don't have sex without the sax. I don't really have sex either.
There's no sex or no sax. Yeah. It's all sad.
But if I did.
I keep playing Kenny G hoping that the sex is going to happen.
Why doesn't anyone come? Like flies, you know? I figured we just trapped them.
Babe, I put on the Kenny G. Babe. Oh shit. All right, it is 4-2, Ski. Gotta come back. Ski, who is Washington's all-time leader in winning percentage as a head coach? This is, by the way, after 19. Because there was a guy named Gil Dobie who went 58-0-3. Three ties. Never lost a game before 1916.
Undefeated. Never lost.
It's amazing. All-time leader in winning percentage as a head coach.
Somehow Peterson.
That is incorrect. Your options, King. Peterson, Neuheisel, or James?
Oh, fuck. Don James?
That is the right answer.
Oh, my God. I was terrified Neuheisel would get it just because he was only there for like 4 years.
Yeah, he ended up winning.
I was trying to think of someone that wasn't there for like a long time.
So James was 72.6. Peterson was 67.9. And then Neuheisel is right behind him with 67.3.
Yeah. See, I thought the trick here was it would be Daryl K. Royal, who everyone knows is the Texas coach. But I think he was only at UW for like a year. But I was like, maybe he was there. You know, maybe that's the choice.
Yeah, yeah. I should have said, you know, more than a certain amount of games they had
that's right.
But there were guys who only coached like one season. All right, so the bonus ones here. Who was Washington's quarterback in the Pitt game?
Damon Heward.
It is indeed Damon Heward. King has 6 now. 6-2, Ski Man. I'm sorry.
This is looking a lot like the Oregon-Washington rivalry.
So you're doing for a comeback, right?
I saw a tweet the other day where somebody posted like the win-loss in the series over the last 30 years or whatever, and Oregon's like, it's like 80% or something like that. And then the Washington fan was like, zoom out, bud. My guy, it's 30 years, dude.
What do you want?
Back to that guy that went, like you said, went 54-0-3.
Joby kicked the shit out of Willamette University and Multnomah Athletic Club.
Oh, yeah? Well, back when it was a Pac-8.
We killed Puget Sound.
Gil Dobie ran over your ass, bitch.
We went right into Idaho.
Bow down.
We kicked the Vandals' ass.
Shy Huntington had to bow down to Gil Dobie.
We made him cry, Huntington. Bow down to Washington.
That might be the only time anybody's made a play on words of Shy Huntington's name. Certainly in a podcast. We should put that on like the cover art. Your go-to podcast for Shy Huntington puns. All right, last one. Who was the quarterback who was given 50,000? Okay, this one was just fun for me. Who was the quarterback who was given $50,000 by a family friend, which led to NCAA sanctions, which led to Don James resigning because he was a cheating crybaby? Do you know this, Ski?
I don't know who the quarterback was.
Okay.
Billy Joe Hobert?
Yeah. Was it Billy Joe?
Yeah. I only remember that because Billy Joe is just a funny like first
name. Yeah, it's really easy to remember.
Unless you're the guy from Green Day, who the hell is Billy Joe?
Yeah.
We've had a couple of Billy Joes. Like, because he was one of our trivia questions too, wasn't he? Like a few weeks ago. Remember, he was the bye week one because he's bisexual.
Yeah.
I know that about Billy Joe. Yeah, apparently there was a few Washington players who were getting impermissible benefits around that time. And then So they were 8-0 at the time, and then they went on to lose like three of their next three games or something like that.
I mean, listen. Anytime Mark Bruner can get a free Camaro, you just got to give Mark Bruner a free Camaro.
You got to. Don't, by the way, never say that about Don James around a Washington fan or you might get actually punched in the face. He's a quitter. He's a cheater.
Cheater.
And a quitter.
I can respect a cheater, but he's a quitter. He's a crybaby. At least when Chip cheated, he went to the NFL. Don James just
the sanctions are unfair.
Don James.
To go to the Hall of Fame.
Oregon kicks my ass for 45 years straight. Don James. Get out of Washington. We sailgate.
Joe